Welcome to The Procurement Show.
Hello and welcome to The Procurement Show, the show that tackles the topics we all need to think about and sets out to explore the more interesting bits of procurement. I'm Jonathan O'Brien.
And I'm Paul Philpott, and this weekend I'm going to be polishing Jonathan's silver.
If you had to choose your last meal here on Earth, what would you choose?
Oh, that's an easy one. Lasagna. Yeah.
Lasagna?
Yeah, proper seven-layer lasagna. Love it. Nice and cheesy.
Because the reason I ask is today we're talking about the potential extinction of many of the functions in organisations as a result of the huge, massive change that AI is going to drive. And this raises the question, the really important question, of whether procurement can survive what's coming down the tracks. And this is something that's been increasing concern to me and also to today's special guest who joins us to help understand the existential risk that we face.
The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, training procurement teams worldwide to deliver outstanding results.
He was educated at Oxford. He is a chartered accountant. He worked for KPMG, was a founder of Proxima Group, which was sold to Bain, and ended up advising many global businesses on their procurement. He now sits on the board of a number of companies, including chairing Argus Cognitive, which uses sophisticated AI to transform how to diagnose and treat autism, and is chairman and founder of One Supply Planet, which has been created to fix the data problem in procurement. In his LinkedIn profile, he describes himself as someone who challenges companies and their people to be a better version of themselves. Please welcome to The Procurement Show, Guy Strafford. Guy, it's a delight to have you on. You're a bit of a legend. We're quite honoured to have you on The Procurement Show.
And you need to get to read more broader range of legends in this book, Jonathan.
But thank you. No,
I'll take the praise.
Definitely a legend. So I'm really pleased you could join us today.
Privileged to be here. Thank you.
This world of procurement, as we know it, you know, we're turning gently in space. It's like there's this kind of giant AI asteroid that's on a collision course for us right now.
Not being dramatic at all,
No. But, you know, this is the risk that we've got to confront, I think, because what I don't understand is organizations are always going to need to buy stuff. But is there really a chance that AI could wipe out procurement?
You'll know, Jonathan. I mean, we've talked about this at length, and I think we can see that there's quite a dramatic set of changes being enabled by AI. I don't want to sort of say I can absolutely anticipate perfectly what the future might look like. I don't think anybody can do that. But you can see threads of themes in manifesting themselves. And I think the challenge for us as procurement professionals, observers on the procurement scene, is to start to play through and see if can we play through a little bit further than most people have done what happens to the procurement function as AI starts to come in.
Yeah.
And I think part of the thing that I think we'll probably come on to is the extent to which the issue isn't just what happens to the procurement function, it's what happens to other parts of the business and how they interact.
Yeah.
So I think you've got various people over the years have said, in the short term, we massively overestimate the amount of change that occurs to an organization. Okay. And in the long term, we massively underestimate the change that's going to occur. I think in this instance, what we've got is we've had over the last, and I'm watching this quite closely, but with a lot of the procurement AI technologies, there's lots of promise of big change.
Yeah.
And you can see bits of it coming through. People are starting to experiment. In the short term, however, you know, I don't think we're going to see huge change. Okay. Short term being a matter of months.
Yeah.
But as you sort of wind through towards as this decade progresses and big companies start to embrace these tools, and we know big companies don't necessarily move that quickly, but as they start to embrace tools, you can see things like things that previously procurement functions used to undertake. So, for example, a lot of procurement professionals would regard negotiation as a critical skill of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that AI is going to be able to, and can, already a number of organizations that are doing this, automate negotiation.
Yeah.
So fine, so it's one little niche that you can now say, well, I could use an AI tool to contribute to that. And then you can start to say, well, I can use AI to, do slightly more sophisticated analytics in when I'm doing my category management. So for your book, Jonathan, if you think of all the components of category management, well, quite useful to have some good data at the beginning. That's something I feel quite strong about, both as an accountant for the design trying to build. Well, you can see AI starting to improve the quality of analysis. So suddenly, that little piece of data analysis that the category manager might have done, AI is going to do that. And you can pick off an awful lot of these components and start to say, well, all right, what's the piece that's uniquely procurement? So price discovery. Okay, well, If you've got agents screening the internet for pricing information, it might give you an awful lot of price transparency.
Yeah.
Say,
yeah.
Well, so something, what's an RFX? What's an RFP? Then these things that suddenly get all up in the air. And therefore, I think you could start to make the case for that there's quite substantial change coming to the skills that we historically would have identified as uniquely being procurements, now being tools that, in theory at least, procurement oversees. Now, I think the reason why there's a potential extinction challenge, right, is not just that these tools are going to come along. The point is, it doesn't have to be procurement that uses those tools.
Yeah, that's scary.
The tool is now open for use by other people. And that's where I think it starts to get interesting.
Yeah, and that's the really scary bit, because as you say, there's a lot of iterative changes. If we look at procurement today, we can see it's pretty obvious how RFPs will change if we even need to do them in future. So these iterative changes are coming down the track and are going to automate stuff. But there is this other thing where sometime very soon, other functions are going to start saying, well, hang on a minute, why do we need procurement? We've got a tool that does everything, you know, we can just do that.
So let's just focus on the tools that are available to procurement now and what the future landscape with regards to the software platforms and the facilities that procurement people have access to. Because AI's made astonishing progress in many different areas. But when you take a look at the kind of tools that procurement have, you're still stuck with some really aged tech. So can we expect that in a moment there's going to be a sudden shift and the kind of tools that procurement professionals have access to is going to get instantly better?
I think there's a distinction should be drawn between the tools that large corporates are institutionally using today, right, which is often a legacy of you've got a 3-year contract, 5-year contract, there's transition costs for changing, et cetera, et cetera. And then the tools that organizations are beginning to deploy. So you can see at the moment that the ChatGPT 5.0, Gemini, Claude, all these things, they're beginning to be used in a sort of ad hoc sort of fashion, paralleling how we're using them in our own private lives. You're starting to see the emergence, and you've seen this very recently, for example, orchestration tools to connect together. You know, that has exploded. You know, nobody was using them almost in one sense a couple of years ago. Now, suddenly they come together. You've got these organizers, AuroZip, others who suddenly had a dramatic impact, growing very quickly, being taken up.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing other tools emerging in the SRM space, in the CLM space, data analytics space, negotiation. You can see these little niche solutions coming up. Now, I remember there was an analysis that was done that there are something like 5,000 procurement technology.
Wow.
Now, I've seen some subsequent analysis which suggests it's maybe only 1,000. But actually, it doesn't matter whether it's 1,000 or 5,000. Even if it's 1,000, most of them are niche solutions. Many of them will fall by the wayside. But the ones that succeed have probably already been launched and are emerging and are coming into space. You're starting to see the active use of these procurement agents. So agentic technology, AI, is going to work its way through all the areas of businesses, but you're going to see it, you're starting to see it happen in procurement to do activities on behalf of individuals. And it's one of the areas where you could start to see little processes. Classically, a good example would be automating a lot of the activities around accounts payable. Agentic is very well placed to undertake a lot of that authorization, that activity. Great. So a chunk of activity goes, and that could go quite soon, I think, because these tools are now in existence being used, and it's just about how quickly they roll through into the wider world.
But these activities that you mentioned, they are very much procedural, aren't they? They're kind of like formulaic. They're not necessarily intelligence-driven. So when do you think we'll start to see more activity within the thinking space?
If I'm consistent, I'd have to argue slower than we expect, but when it comes, it's going to be more dramatic in its consequence.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And now it's time for this week's fun fact.
If you were to wash one load of laundry every day for a whole 52 years, you would clean the same amount as the laundrette staff at Disney World wash in one single day.
Wow. Well, I guess we've got to stop Mickey getting mucky.
Or Donald getting dirty.
Or Snow White becoming Snow Brown.
Okay, I think we've exhausted those now.
The fun fact. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com. Or connect with us on LinkedIn. Search for The Procurement Show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, the home of category management that delivers breakthrough results.
As you say, Guy, when we talk about some of the legacy systems, you know, they're a long way behind. But then when you look at some of the kind of new kids on the block, they're doing some quite exciting things, but they're just not connected to the right data yet. They're just not kind of joined up in the way that's meaningful. They're just not quite doing the thing that we need it to do. And I guess that kind of brings me to another point, because in procurement, when I talk to CPOs right now, the sort of mood is that we're just paralyzed, that we've had budgets cut, and what budgets we've got, people are saying, well, let's go and buy some tech because that's what we've got to do. So people are buying shiny things. They've stopped recruiting. They've stopped developing talent, and all the cash is going into buying a shiny thing, which probably isn't quite ready yet. So I've just got this sense that we're paralyzed, that we're kind of almost going backwards slightly because we're trying to do this before the tech's actually ready. Is that something you're seeing, and what should we be doing about that?
I would say that to mid-2024, to my mind, the community was very excited. Oh my God, this is coming down. Got new shiny toys to play with. I think there's sort of a hope that AI was going to solve everything. Oh my God, okay, we'll just buy some AI and it would be great. I think the beginning of this year, what I've then sort of talked to a lot of CPOs, CFOs I know, okay, it was a sort of, okay, it's a bit more complicated than that. Yeah, we've got legacy systems, legacy integration, our data isn't as good quality as we need it to be. We're going to have to go on a something of a journey, okay? I'll take ChatGPT because it's a very visible example. You know, ChatGPT, it's like 3.0, 4.0. Oh, sorry, we've got 5.0. It's moving at a rate of knots. I know, you know, one CPO who'd spent 5 years building a really sophisticated procurement platform about 4 months ago, just wiped the entire lot. This is an American tech business. I mean, just wiped the lot out because they suddenly realized, oh my God, we're going to have to start again because there's this huge deluge of new AI. Hmm. And to your point about paralysis, and I think that is the word. I think there's quite a lot of organizations that are suddenly thinking, right, you know, it's all going to change, but what the hell do we do? Which horse do we back? How do we distinguish between all these different little tools? One. Two, there's a question I remember, a UK CPO, been operating in the US and has come to the UK saying to me, look, they don't necessarily want to have 20 different tools, of which they know 10 will probably go by the wayside and they'll have to buy another 15 at some point, and then how they integrate them, et cetera. Orchestration has solved some of that. I absolutely accept that. But not everybody wants to go down that type of path. And so there are reasons to believe that you have seen what you've articulated through spring and summer, a degree of paralysis. But we're coming into new budget season. For a lot of people, they didn't have budgets, particularly if they was negotiated post-September for a January 1 beginning of the year. That's about to start to change because you're going to see people putting in new budget submissions for requesting procurement AI tools, technologies, either start to experiment with or to start to implement more systematic change. And I think that is forcing a bunch of people to start to get off the fence and say, well, actually, we're going to have to start thinking about what we do need, make some bets, recognize they may be wrong. But if we don't start making the bets, others will be making those bets for us. Yeah. And I think that's the theme we need to come on to, because if we stick with your example, Jonathan, of, is there a cataclysm coming our way? Let's stick with the dinosaur type analogy. If I have to make this prediction, I think it's easy to see that a lot of individual small activities that Paul was articulating get automated away. And there's quite a lot of thinking, if it's relatively predictable, that can, you know, be things like supplier discovery or price discovery, some areas of that can be automated, you're left with a hardcore of difficult to automate one-off activities.
Jonathan, I want to ask you, because Guy quite rightly referred to your question earlier about whether there's a cataclysm on the way. Yep. And Guy also said that things are moving at a rate of knots with regards to developments and adaptations. But it just seems at the moment the conversation's driven very much by marketeers. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily by practical solutions to actually do what they're meant to be doing. And needless to say, it seems that everything is still moving very, very slowly.
Yeah.
We're testing the water, but we're not actually crossing the river.
That's just make up an analogy there.
Yeah.
So when do you think we will see a sudden shift? Is there going to be a moment where everything changes? And to what degree do you think leaps in AI capability will drive it?
And I think, you know, Guy, to your point, we need to talk about when this is going to happen and how this is going to happen, because has the meteor hit yet? Probably not, but it's going to hit, or impact is due any moment. So if we sort of continue that dinosaur analogy, then it wasn't the meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs. It was what happened next. You know, big clouds of debris got put into the atmosphere. The sky went dark. You know, the temperature of the earth accelerated. And then that triggered a whole series of events where suddenly the larger mammals and animals couldn't get food because the food chain broke down. And only a small percentage of species survive because they were the ones that adapted and changed. And I think that is what we're talking about here. And Guy, you and I have been talking about this already. So we think that there are three things that are going to happen, three phases. You know, we're in this age, this era of disruption now where everything is just going to be turned upside down. And that's going to trigger a whole bunch of changes. You know, the debris cloud is in the air, everything's starting to go dark. Because it's not just going to be procurement that's affected here.
No,
you know,
no,
it's going to be every single function. So that'll bring about this kind of fight, this battle, this jostling for survival. And that will then trigger a new evolution and survival play by procurement. And eventually, as we get in early into the next decade, it will be reinventing ourselves to be the next thing, which probably won't be procurement at all. You know, Guy, what do you think?
Let's build on that, right, Jonathan? So you've got this really interesting dynamic, which is, you say, we're painting a model, which I think a lot of people would accept. Whilst it's precise, you know what procurement's going to do. You can see themes around that. Stuff that's hard to put through AI is elements of human interaction, elements of that commercial judgment, elements of that new one-off, things that don't lend themselves to repetition automation in some easy shape or form, okay? They're often higher order, high-end intellectual stuff, plus imagination, creativity. There's a locus, and I'll come back to that locus in a second. So if we just look at it through the procurement lens, right, you get this very exciting thing. Say, great. So you're not going to have to do the boring stuff. You're not going to have to do a lot of the price discovery, things that you used to do before. You can really focus on this really creative commercial stuff. Brilliant. Problem is that, to your point, finance is going through the same journey. So the finance guys and girls are all going to discover 90% of all their activity, which was producing reports, sending information around, collating information, et cetera, dissipates. Okay. And fine. So there's a little layer of stuff, the creativity around insights and all the rest that you need to do. But they're looking, say, well, hold on a second. So if a lot of the stuff that we used to do is gone, what are we going to do? Oh, I know what we want. We want to be the commercial support to the business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're then looking at things like the IT function. I'm stereotyping slightly unfairly. Do a lot of activities doing either vendor management or they're doing bringing in, driving, coding, et cetera. Well, all that stuff, the coding gets done by AI. The vendor management, we've already talked about it, dissipated operationally through AI. So suddenly the IT function is saying, well, you know what? We'd quite like to be doing, e.g., AI for the whole organization. Okay, we'll be the guardians. We'll oversee and make sure that the infrastructure exists. And so you can see, if we stick with your evolutionary, naturalistic theme, Jonathan, the problem is not AI coming in like a meteor, bang, and hitting the sort of procurement, finance, IT landscape. It's that the debris that comes up wipes out a lot of the activities that currently have been done by all these functions and HR and others, okay, and ops and supply chain, et cetera. Fine. They're all now looking for a new evolutionary niche. And the evolutionary niche that a lot of people are going to gravitate to is commercial, that the human interaction, commercial, judgment-based activities that don't lend themselves to automation in some way, shape, or form. And I think the reason why procurement faces a existential threat is that the skills that we want to all develop are skills that the organization wants to develop. And the niches we want to inhabit are the same niches that other parts of the business want to inhabit as well in this future model. You know, I know we've discussed this, Jonathan, but I don't think that's been considered by very many people at all when they're thinking about what happens. So you're kind of left not with a procurement function that we've historically understood, but you're left with some sort of commercial entity whose tentacles extend into the organization, and lots of different parts of the organization can contribute to manning that or womaning it, depending on your lens. And therefore, we suddenly face this crisis that, just as I think eyes evolved nine different ways to get the same thing. Well, you've got a finance evolution into commercial, potentially IT evolution into commercial, and operations evolution into commercial, procurement evolution into commercial. Well, common sets of skills, all the technology we've established is going to potentially exist to do a lot of the stuff that they used to do day to day. Well, that's the existential crisis, because the evolutionary battle for the same turf is about to happen now. So the organizations, and I mean by this procurement organizations, that don't understand the jostling, to use your term from earlier, that is going about to happen, who aren't equipped to have the jostling that's about to happen, who haven't got their eye on this prize and the fact that they're going to have to elbow out their colleagues. Otherwise, it's not that there won't be a commercial function. It's just procurement won't be peopling it.
Yeah, absolutely. This is quite scary stuff. Yeah. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Capella is the latest in digital category management. Capella makes creating great category strategies easy, strategies you can trust. Because Capella's intelligence is built upon 5i category management, trusted by companies the world over to deliver results. Which means when you choose Capella's guided mode, you can be confident you'll get the best possible strategy. Or switch to advanced mode and work the 5i steps. All with AI's helping hand. Make digital category management something you can trust. Search Capella Category Strategy or visit positivepurchasing.com to find out more. Capella, the guided category strategy creator.
So there's this big functional battle that yes. we've got to be ready for. And it's probably not that far away. And suddenly other functions are going to say, hey, you know, we can do this stuff, but we need to be battle ready for this. If this is going to happen, we need to be battle ready to be able to do that. I think the other thing of what you've just said there, which is very profound, is everybody assumes procurement's going to exist in a more technological enabled version of itself today. I don't think that's the case, which is what you're saying. There's going to be some new commercial thing people in the organization drive, but we may not even use the word procurement anymore.
So you're saying that procurement may not survive this? Or how?
In its current form.
Right, so it's going to survive through diversification and redeployment of skills?
Well, it's going to survive because it evolves faster than the other functions who want to evolve into that same evolutionary niche. We're simply saying it's a race. So it's not that the procurement professionals become extinct, per se, that you'll have to die. This is a, if you don't evolve faster than your colleagues, they will kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a dramatic language, of course it is, all right? I mean, not maliciously, but it's their survival or your survival. Well, guess what's going to happen? They'll jostle, because they'll be saying, well, actually, we can do most of this stuff because we don't need the things that we previously used to use the procurement function for from the procurement function because the technology allows us to do it now.
Yeah. And I think in all the discussions that we've had, we've sort of talked about how the technology will automate and will even, you know, equip the business to be able to do this in some sort of business self-serve model, I guess. There is an assumption within that that we're talking about the routine spend, the tactical spend, the non-differentiated spend, all the stuff that we can do quite easily. We've still got that kind of layer of really special stuff, strategic stuff, where you work closely with a supplier to develop something. You come up with a real strategic, innovative way of buying.
And relationship-driven stuff.
And relationship-driven. So I kind of think that there'll be some pioneering procurement functions that survive, that one, figure out how to win that battle, but they won't be doing the stuff. They'll be driving the systems that do it, but also are doing this very fine layer of the strategic stuff that's going to bring competitive advantage to the business. What do you think? Pioneers? Do we have to be pioneers to survive?
I absolutely do not want people watching this to think that we are saying everybody in procurement is stuffed. Mm. Right? It's not the message. The message is you're now in a race.
Yeah.
Okay. You race with your colleagues. You've got to understand that we in procurement are not the only people who deal with suppliers. So the finance team are dealing with a whole bunch of suppliers all day long, their own spot. So the auditors or the finance systems or SAP or Oracle, whoever it might be, they are dealing with them. They have deep relationships with these people. The skills now to think differently about how to deploy that software or something. You know, well, it's not that much of a leap for the finance function to start saying, well, we're going to go and talk to other organizations to see how they've used these platforms, AI, whatever it might be. Mm. It's not that much of a leap to imagine them going from operational to commercial management of these vendors because the technology is going to enable it. The point is, if we've got a pioneering on the money function that's ahead of the curve, that's built a reputation and trusted by everybody else for being able to do it better, that function takes the commercial niche that is there for the taking, as opposed to letting finance or IT or whoever else it might be take it.
Yeah.
But if we don't go hell for leather now, if you don't equip yourself with the skills, capabilities, not just to deploy AI, but to engage the AI, but also to actually think politically how to wield power and position yourself to wield power and just tell the stories, all those higher order skills that need to be notched up because it's a battle for survival. If you don't have those, then you lose.
Yeah. Okay. And so we need to be able to demonstrate a unique value that nobody else in the business can replicate.
Well, in that case, I mean, what are we waiting for, really, Jonathan?
Well,
I mean, if we can get it sorting out all the transactional boring stuff, why are we not concentrating our efforts on the more strategic aspects of the function?
Yeah, what are we waiting for? Absolutely.
Well, you're not asking me a difficult question, are you? Brian, that was a mean
Well,
blow.
I didn't have an answer for that.
Lord Jobbins,
okay. I will try and answer it. What are we waiting for? I mean, I think the thing is, what we're talking about today isn't on the radar of CPOs. CPOs are saying, I need to go and buy a tech solution. They're not thinking, hey, there's a battle ahead. How do I be ready? The strategic stuff, you know, we help companies develop that strategic capability. We train them in category management, supplier relationship management, negotiation, sustainable procurement, all the things yep. that a strategic function needs in this modern AI-driven world. Yet those are the things that companies are holding back on investing in because the tech feels like it's more sexy. So, you know, what are we waiting for? Well, actually, you need to equip people with that strategic understanding alongside some data scientists and some analytic people and some systems engineers who can glue all this stuff together to be able to drive how you power the organization in the future. So the thing that CPOs are doing now by neglecting talent is the one thing that's standing in our way, because we should be developing the talent to be battle ready for the future, I think. Guy, what do you think?
Can I try and split this down? Because I think the battles occur at different times, probably, is the answer. I think next year will be a year when you really start to see some of the enterprises begin to really start that sort of super tanker type shift of direction to absorb and really start to make better uses. And the use cases don't just get developed, they start to be implemented, and the practical realities of implementing them and using them all start to become crystal clear. And at that point, if you're not on top of it, either consultants or finance or IT will get on top of it, and you'll become an order taker, sort of receiver rather than a shaper of that landscape. So if you haven't got those skills to start to think about how you're going to make use of that, the IT, the systems, the infrastructure, the whatever, and you aren't on top of the marketplace in terms of what's going on, you're very vulnerable. The point Jonathan's making is longer term, which is the functions in my experience that have really thrived in procurement, the ones that unambiguously consistently show patterns of success. These are the Patrick Dunns, the Ninians, Sainsbury's and Vodafone respectively, leading their functions. They understand storytelling, they understand branding, they understand narrative construction, connecting the two together, and they understand how to wield power and help decisions influence and make decisions. Now, I would be very much at this stage arming my team with those types of capability sets with a view to saying we're about to come into an existential battle and we need to have those and a bunch of others to really position ourselves to be the commercial entity, whatever that's going to be called, of the future, so that we are the number one. And therefore, you can make a case for why you'd do it now, because it's equipping you with skills you need now, but also position you for the future.
I think you're kind of answering my next question, but I'm looking for more practical steps, really, with regards to the discussion point of what organizations need to be doing now to make sure they're pioneers in this, not being left behind or following when others take the lead. Jonathan. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, Guy, you summed it up there in terms of get people ready with the skills that they need to be able to navigate this, because we don't really know what it looks like. Because I always use the pilot analogy. So we're not going to be flying the plane anymore like we used to. Pilots used to fly planes. Right now, if you talk sort of most modern aircraft, most Airbus aircraft, they can fly themselves. They can take off, they can fly, and they can land. But it's reassuring to have pilots mm-hmm. in the cockpit. And it'll be some time before we kind of let the plane do it on its own. But the role of the modern pilot is not to fly the plane so much, but to make sure the plane is working really well and optimized and doing all the right things, and if there's a problem, to deal with it. And that's, I think, how our role needs to change. So when you train to be a pilot, you learn how an aeroplane works mm-hmm. because you need to be able to know that stuff. Once upon a time, we taught people category management and they would do it. Now we teach people category management so they can use Capella, a digital category management tool, to do it for them. But they need to get under the hood and still be able to know how it works. And that's the crucial thing, not doing, but orchestrating, being architects, guiding, making sure the stuff happens. So if we don't start equipping people for that, and for the data, and for the AI, and for the tech implementation bit, then we're not going to make it. We're not going to have the talent that knows how to do it.
And now it's time for this week's Ask Jonathan.
Well, today's Ask Jonathan comes from Nova Eskrom in Sweden, who writes, "Dear Jonathan, I have all your books."
Thank you very much, Nova.
It sounds more like it's the start of a complaint. "In a world of inflation and volatile supply markets, is it still possible to be strategic? Or are we just firefighting now?"
Do you know, when I talk to procurement people right now, everybody's just firefighting. And I think that's one of the problems, because the problem with firefighting is you lose your perspective because you're just down in the weeds trying to sort out that problem. And it's okay if you kind of drop down to just do that to put one fire out. But right now, every day is a fire day. And so we're losing that strategic edge. That's something I've seen. So we should never stop being strategic. We should always kind of keep our view on what we're trying to do here. It might be we have to pause it. It might be that we have to reframe it. But one of the biggest things that happens is you're trying to do that and the people that you work for in the organization that you work for, they've stopped being strategic because they just want firefighting. And sometimes you've got to remind them, what are we trying to do here? Because the risk to you is you end up just being constantly told to go put out a fire, go put out a fire. That's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do the organization any good. Sometimes you actually have to push back and say, okay, let's just remind ourselves what we're trying to do here. What is the mountain we're trying to climb? What is the goal we're trying to achieve? Because last year we set out to mitigate price rise increases or make a supply chain sustainable. Is that still what we're trying to do, or do we need to change that? It's good to push back if you're constantly firefighting, just to make sure that you've got a clear goal in mind. Otherwise, you'll just spiral downwards.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, if you have a question to ask Jonathan, here's how to get in touch.
Ask Jonathan. Email your question to jonathan@theprocurementshow.com. You might be part of the next show. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, the home of category management that delivers breakthrough results.
Guy, do you have anything to add?
I think there's a fundamental, it's a variation of what I'd say to every procurement professional, every procurement function. What historically we've been there to do? Been there to bring the best of the external market, whatever that may look like, into our organization in a way that's compelling and effective and performs. And the implication is that we're trying to help make the commercial boundary of our organization, not a wall, but something porous that can take information on best practice, best ways of using suppliers, best commercial terms, whatever it might be, bring it in.
Yeah.
Now, in a world where lots of companies are experimenting with different aspects of AI, for example, well, first thing I would do is go and talk to lots of other companies and see what they're doing. What have you tried? What's worked? What hasn't worked? You don't need to go to your competitor because that's a challenge. You can go to lots of other different organizations and chat. Just ring them up. That's what I used to do. Just bring them up and see what they're doing. In my experience, a lot of organizations, if you're not a competitor, quite happy to swap and to share.
Yeah.
Because it's the single greatest cultural mistake, actually the second greatest cultural mistake, the first greatest cultural mistake procurement functions make is being willing to operate data blind. So yeah. I'm trying to fix that.
Yeah.
The second one is trying to think they've got to do it themselves, figure it out themselves. No, you don't. I used to coach all the people who joined my old business. The first thing I'd say, be lazy. What lazy person doesn't think, how do I solve this myself? They think, who's solved this before? I'll go and ask them.
That's brilliant.
That's a very good point.
And you're absolutely right. In procurement, there is this kind of reluctance to go and ask somebody. But actually, my experience is people are only too willing to share if you just ask them and pick up the phone to ask them, like we did in the old days once upon a time.
Remember and that. Be prepared to swap. Yeah. You know, you might have to give to get. So you've got insights and experiences that might be quite useful. They'd be quite interested. So, I didn't know you could use Claude for that, or I didn't know you could use Gemini for this, or whatever, Copilot. I was talking to CBO this morning who's been using Copilot to do some really quite interesting data analysis and is getting as good as some of the specialist tools that exist out there.
That's incredible. I want to take you forward 10 years, 2035, and you know we'll all be looking exactly the same.
Absolutely.
Younger. Well, you know.
That's because AI is going to alter how we all look on the screen.
In real time.
It's not aged at all.
It'll be the Benjamin Button effect. So I've just sort of been making notes as we've been talking. This is what I think we're saying is going to be like in 2035. So it won't be procurement, but there'll be a commercial zone that kind of looks after stuff. Yep. We won't do any of the tactical routine stuff that we do today. It'll be a smaller strategic function. We'll be the architects of the systems that help the organization or enable the organization to buy well. And a small group of very highly skilled, highly talented people will be working alongside the latest AI thing to make sure all this happens. Have I missed anything? Is that a fair kind of prediction?
I think the architect thing is one of the maybes. Yeah, that model is as it should be. But I mean, I think I would argue that if the commercial entity function, whatever you want to call it, doesn't play the top of its game, IT will be very happy to be that architect for you. And or it'll get outsourced and it'll just be done by a big four or whoever it might be, Accenture-type, IBM-type solution. Who knows, Palantir, one of the other Kerbals coming into this space. It's useful to say this is the ideal, this is the aspiration that we should have, and procurement that should be the natural entity that has evolved into that particular model that you've articulated. But as we've said before, if that's an I, well, that's one way of evolving an I, but we've also started to articulate there's a whole bunch of other ways, functionally from within the organization, that are looking for a way to evolve, to fill this evolutionary niche. Because the niche is going to get full.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
I think the niche is going to get full very, very quickly. And there is going to be a lot of people competing for that. So, you know, we've got to be unique. We've got to show value that nobody else can rival if we're still going to be part of the game in 10 years' time.
All aspects I look at the weekend when I'm considering...
I know where you're heading.
Whether something's unique, whether it's delivering value. And that is, of course, when I'm choosing a takeaway. Yep. Guy's looking very confused on the screen because he's thinking, where on earth is Paul going with this? It's basically the most tenuous way and tedious way of getting into the question, what are your three takeaways from our discussion today, please, Guy?
That's painful. I have got bits of my back that hurt already. This is terrible. I didn't realise I was ill. Now I have I got to do them all? Is Jonathan going to do one or two as well?
That's actually a very interesting question. We've never had such pushback on it as you're giving us now. Very good negotiation tactic.
I'll do
three. You're going to do three, okay.
You've got to start training everybody now to an advanced level of capability that they'll need to be able to do that. Advanced procurement capability and also advanced capability in using AI. You need to get data scientists, AI experts, system people as part of the team to help you build this. And I think the final thing is, but something you said earlier, Guy, actually, you got to tell the story. You need to start branding procurement as the function that's going to take you into the future and start setting it up and doing that marketing job on the organization now. So you sell the dream early. Those would be my three. What do you think, Guy?
I agree with all of those. I think it's things that one could do. I'd probably come back from my three then would be sort of reiterating points from earlier in the session, which is there is a meteor coming, which is AI, and it would be a shame not to prepare for not so much its arrival, but its arrival and the consequences of its arrival. That second thing I think to prepare for is no matter how much you've evolved the function as a CPO, no matter how much you as a category manager or a team member, whatever, compared to where it might have been 5 years ago, there's another big step up because you're in a race. And that race is not other organizations. It's, you know, your competition actually sits three rows of desks down from you in other parts of the organization who are similarly going through the same existential crisis. I think, Jonathan, we coined this term. Is it a functional extinction where you'd expect extinction?
Yeah.
Extinction.
And then the little trademark logo, right?
Yes, in a circle.
In a little circle.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to go through this crisis and they're all going to end up wanting to battle for some similar niches, which require a set of skills that are common to each, you know, the ability to engage with your colleagues, the ability to tell stories, the ability to reach out, bring new ideas, imagination, creativity, all these things, these higher order skills that Jonathan says you can and should be training your team for. Your team should be holding this now. You're going to need this, but turbocharged, because on top of that, you've got to make sure you're making full use of the AI capability around you to facilitate that. And if you don't do it, you will just be a casualty of that evolutionary battle for the niche.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much. Guy Strafford, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for joining us on The Procurement Show.
It's a privilege and a pleasure. Thank you very much, guys.
You've been listening to The Procurement Show. Contact us by email, hello@theprocurementshow.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn, search for The Procurement Show, and visit us at theprocurementshow.com. You can also WhatsApp us on +44 7396 939933. The Procurement Show is brought to you by Positive Purchasing, transforming procurement with exceptional tools and advanced training. Produced in the UK by Fresh Air Studios. The Procurement Show is copyright Positive Purchasing, all rights reserved.
Meet Ruby.
Hello.
Your negotiation co-pilot powered by AI.
Oh, yes.
Ruby guides you and your team to plan your negotiation.
Yay.
And because it's built on the famous red sheet method, you can be certain of the best outcome.
Woohoo.
And if you need help, Just ask Ruby.
I'll help you.
Or access the onboard learning.
Don't forget.
I haven't forgotten. I'm saving the best till last. Because Ruby can then do the negotiation. Using AI and our 20 years negotiation experience, Ruby is one of the best trained negotiators you will find. If you want to win, role play with Ruby.
Yay!
To find out more, just search Ruby Negotiation or visit positivepurchasing.com.